Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
The scripture that I took my little title from is actually found in Psalm 37, verse 25. I think you know what it says. It says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. I confess to you, after being a missionary in Africa for 40 years in one of the poorest areas in that continent, this verse of scripture used to give me a great deal of pause. I found a lot of contradiction at first in the literal idea of what this scripture says and what I was seeing every day, where most people around us in the dark years were surviving on one meal a day. That included many of our pastors and their families. It was kind of a lifestyle in that time period for men to go out and scrounge for something to feed their family, only knowing that as soon as that food was cooked and consumed, that quest would start again for tomorrow's meal. So it took a while for me to bring these two scriptures together, but actually it says something very important to us in two parts, I do believe. First of all, it tells us that life is a progression. I think we know that. We just may not think about it very often. It is a progression. We move through life from step to step. Somewhat different, but in essence, we know them. We start out as a helpless, cute, loving little infant, and before long, we're in the terrible twos as a child, and then before long, we grow into those complex adolescent years, and we're there for a while, and then we move on to young adulthood, and finally, we move into middle age, and finally, we move into that legacy category called seniors. And the reason seniors are the way they are, we've lived through every one of those, and there's indelible memories and circumstances that we can't get rid of that help shape who we are and shape the course of our life. Life is a progression, and we are all moving through it. And that's what that phrase is telling us. I once was young, and now I'm old. Over the course of the years that I've been on staff here at Central, I have delighted time and time again to speak to Pastor Anthony's generation and just remind them, sometimes a bit subtly, sometimes less subtly, but always extremely joyful. Just keep in mind, whatever you think about seniors, every one of you are headed to my ministry one day. It's a progression. We move through these phases of life, infancy and childhood and adolescence and young adulthood and middle age and finally to the seniors. That's what that phrase is telling us. I once was young and now I'm old. My life has progressed through all the stages. And then the second part of that verse says this, through it all, God is immutable. God is unchanging. God is consistent. All along that progression, the interest of God is always directed toward us. Through every stage of our life, the provisions of God are real and very vital to our welfare and who we are. His interests are always turned toward us. Jesus addressed that stage of life we call childhood, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. He says, I want little children to come to me, so never interfere with them when they want to come. The Apostle Paul took a young minister, a young evangelist in hand, the young Timothy, and encouraged him by saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. The interest of God, the eyes of God's interest always turned toward us in our childhood, toward us in our youth, and believe it or not, not toward us in our senior years. It was the grand prophet Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 4 from the New Living Translation, who said this, "I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and in the end, I will save you." And so my message for our seniors as we start this week of celebration is just remember that the one constant in our life is our unchanging God. One of the strong issues, one of the stressful issues in the life of a senior adult, your parents perhaps or your grandparents perhaps, one of the strong issues facing seniors is that issue of the existence of change. There is so much change taking place in the life of a senior adult. Whether they're a Christian or not, their lives are full of change. Their health is changing. They can no longer do as much as they once could do. Their memories are fading. They can no longer remember as much as they once could remember. One of our more feeble couples decided to go out on a date night, husband and wife date night, and they were heard standing at the front door of their apartment at Maranatha, and the wife was going to have to drive that night, and so she turned to her husband. She said, "Now, sweetheart, remember, you're going to try to remember who we are, and I'm going to try to remember where we're going." And it seemed to be a system, I took a little license with that, but it seemed to be a system that worked really well for us. But change is taking place. Our children are changing. They don't come home as much as they once did because they're not in college. They're now married. They have their own children, their own life. We deal with change that we don't ask for, that we don't look for, and quite frequently, we don't know how to deal with. Every element of life for senior adults is changing. And in that state of extreme life chaos, it's good for us to hold on to the fact that the unchanging God is our one constant. I've traveled the path of at one time being young, and now I've arrived at that point of, yeah, I guess I qualify as a senior. But there's one thing I can tell you about that entire path. God has been consistently and constantly immutable, changeless. He has been stable in my life, and He does provide us that stability. Secondly, I want to go back to the scripture Denny almost preached for me, Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29. Take a little different perspective on it for just a moment. Again, it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh." But from there, it says all things. First of all flesh. Then it says, "On your sons and your daughters, who shall prophesy." Then it says, "Your old men, who shall dream dreams, and your young men, who shall see visions." And then it says, "Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." So you've got several categories of people that are being mentioned here by Joel. He's talking about, and I'm so grateful that he did, first of all, that umbrella phrase, all flesh. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then he hones right in to our sons and daughters. I believe every mom and dad in this house, that would be one of your primary prayers after salvation. Lord, let my sons and my daughters know the fullness and the power and the glory and the joy of the Spirit of God in their lives. And Joel gives us that promise, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That also tells us, if you read that closely, that the outpouring is going to be more than one generation. It's going to surpass one generation and continue. Then he says, your old men are going to dream dreams and your young men are going to see visions. And we can take that 45 different directions. But the important thing to me is that in the work of God and in the dynamics of God, there's the Anthony and there's the Don and there's the Dwight White, and there's the Lee, and there's the Sherman. Whatever our ages are, we're all working together, and we're having these vibrant, living, incredible spiritual experiences that contribute one to another. Would you believe that? I read some very old commentaries on this scripture that even delved into the idea that the reason this said, "Your old men shall dream dreams," is because old men tend to sleep a lot, and that's the way God, I'm not kidding, and that's the way God decided he would speak through old men, and the young men, they're more chipper, they're more alert and awake, and so they can experience these dynamic visions, and then finally decided, well, that's probably not it at all. Probably what this passage means is, in this day of outpouring, old men and young men are going to dream dreams and have visions, and they're all going to participate and contribute to the work of the Lord. I also like very much that it includes the servant class. It's classless. The outpouring of the Spirit of God is to be classless. It's not going to be socially or economically limited to one strata of society, but everybody is eligible for this last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, also what we read in this passage of Scripture, we are reading a definition or a description of the church of the outpouring. And friends, that is supposed to be you and I. That's supposed to be us from the first Pentecost unto today and on into the morrow. Tomorrow, our sons and daughters of a future generation after ours, we need to see that put in place. If there's one thing that would make every senior in this congregation happy, it would be to have a confirmation in our hearts that in the next generation, the dynamics of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost are alive and well and continuing to impact lives and reach the world. We have an in-depth, inborn spiritual need to see that next generation grab the reality of the Holy Spirit outpouring. I don't think I'll ever forget sitting in a missions session up the street a few years back, and we were talking about this, and I told you that seniors can sometimes be aggravating, and one of the older fellows got it in his head that he was going to wax eloquent about the younger generation not knowing the reality of Pentecost. And so he took off in this room full of young missionary candidates, so full of God and full of joy and full of their calling. And he took off telling them and informing them that they did not know the reality of Pentecost. And one young man had the courage to stand up in a very good spirit and say to this elder brother, "Oh, my brother, we know the power of Pentecost. It may not look like it looked to you in 1960, but we do know the power of Pentecost in our generation." And I often tell my senior brothers and sisters, be very careful. Seniors pray for revival and renewal almost constantly. Seniors talk about the need for revival and renewal almost constantly. And my one message for our generation is, be very careful, because you may be looking for God to do something similar to what you have experienced so you can call it revival, when the great diversity of the Holy Spirit might choose to move in this generation in a way that you hardly recognize, but it's as real to them as it was to you. Be very careful what you're defining as to the way revival needs to look, smell, act, and walk, because the Holy Spirit is perfectly free to do it differently if He wishes. We need to see that second generation behind us in place. We need that mix of the young and the old and the middle-aged having vibrant, living spiritual experiences, and we need to see it crossing the lines of social and economic differences. The truth is, the church, as it's defined here in Joel's words, the church is intended to be an open, inclusive, whosoever church. And that church as well, hear me when I say this, is intended to be a pan-generational congregation, a pan-generational, meaning all generational family, not just one, not just two, not someone left to the side because they're too young or because they're too old or because they're too uneducated. It is to be pan-generational, everybody with a place at the altar, everybody with a place in the family, everybody with their portion of the fire of God's Spirit flowing into their lives. God give us that kind of a pan-generational church in the world in which we live. Seniors long for that. However, we have to be very careful. Just being as honest as I know how to be with you, it's quite easy for senior people to feel like my day is over. They're doing things I wouldn't do. Their ways are not my ways. And yet at the same time, if confronted with reality, we would very rapidly say, yes, we want our sons and daughters to rise to leadership, to preaching, to pastoring, to evangelizing, to missions. We need to be very careful the attitudes we harbor. Likewise, to younger generations, it's very easy to decide, because we do walk slower, and because sometimes we do think slower. Sometimes we don't speak as clearly as we once did. Sometimes we don't arrange our thoughts as quickly as we once should. It may be easy to think that the older generation really has a waning capacity and therefore a waning interest in the work of the church. That simply is not true. We have to keep in mind that the Lord has described His church as a pan-generational church that we absolutely and definitely want to be. I know we do here at Central. Amen? Can I not get a stronger amen than that for that? Thank you, Lee. I knew I could count on you. Now, just to conclude with a couple of random scriptures, I want to read to you the words of Job, that ancient Job, chapter 12 and verse number 12. He says this, "Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?" You know, when you get to be a senior, you've lived through all those stages of life and you've seen a lot of things. And Job addressed that and says, is not wisdom found among the people who have piled up years of experience? And does not long life bring about a level of understanding? And I would just say in response to that, I think that's true. But it's interesting that Job talked about wisdom and understanding. He did not talk about authority or control or resistance. He talked about insight. If there's a gift that the experienced senior should have that is available to the generations coming behind us, it might be a level of insight. Things we've seen and things we've learned. And if we can humbly share those, not in the spirit, you got to do it the way we did it, but in the spirit, these are the things that we've learned and these are the things that we've seen. I believe it would be helpful to us in that arena of becoming more pan-generational as the worldwide church. Another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 7 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you." I would just simply say this. I've studied a lot in my missions work. I studied a lot about generational issues because we were increasingly seeing missionary teams put together of people my age and then generations all the way down to the very youngest, and sometimes it wasn't working so well. And one of the things that I learned in a certain period of time, a certain age level, there was a group came through that had no interest in anything from the past. This scripture tells us there is a past that has shaped and influenced the presence and needs to be taken in mind if we plan to carve out a brighter future. And your seniors, your moms and dads, and your grandparents are those that can give you incredible insights into the past. And then again, in conclusion, I want to read that verse 46 and 4 from the prophet Isaiah in a different translation to be encouraging to those of us tonight that are seniors. Even to your old age and your gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I've made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue. Yes, it's true. I have been young, and now getting older took place a lot quicker than I thought it would. But this one thing sees every one of us through every day. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 from Contemporary English Version. It's Jesus Christ. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same infancy, childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, middle age, and in these legacy years. Jesus Christ never changes. In the hour when the world seems to consistently, daily change under our feet, He is our one constant, Jesus. He never changes. So to my senior colleagues, I would encourage you to grab hold of that one constant and hold on to it for dear life. And to my younger colleagues, I would encourage you to watch us and see how well we do that. And if we drift from that, slap our hands and draw us back to it. And together, let's trust in Him to make us whom He wants us to be. Can you say amen to that? Can you receive that tonight? Even if you're not a senior, we'd like for you to celebrate this week the dynamics of what the Lord is doing in our life as senior adults. I'm going to ask Pastor.